RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo signs declaration of one Asian, one response on disasters. President Joko Widodo calls for stronger Asian economic cooperation. Philippine President Duterte is scheduled to visit Jakarta. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo and nine other Asian leaders have signed a declaration of one Asian, one response on disaster in and out of this region. The signing of the declaration is part of the agenda of the Asian leaders in the first day of the 28 Asian Summit Conference and the 29 Asian-related summit meetings at the National Convention Center in Vientiane, Laotian capital city on Tuesday. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said in a news conference on Tuesday night that the declaration is needed to strengthen cooperation and improve coordination in the mechanism to overcome regional disaster. One of the concrete forms in the declaration is to make more effective the mechanisms of Asian humanitarian assistance, which has served as a special body to help any of Asian member countries in disaster. Retno said the declaration of One Asian, One Response is to strengthen cooperation in mitigating disaster already agreed earlier under the Agreement of Management of Disaster and Response to Emergency signed in December 2007. In 2011, Asian implemented the mandate of Agreement on the Management of Disaster and Response to Emergency to set up Asian Humanitarian Assistance Center in Jakarta. In addition to providing place and facility for the Asian Humanitarian Assistance Center, Indonesia contributed $600,000 in the first year of its operation to Asian Humanitarian Aid Operation. In the first day of the summit meeting, apart from signing the declaration, Jokowi attended the launch of the Master Plan of Asian Connectivity 2025, an Asian Integrity Working Plan. President Joko Widodo on Tuesday called for stronger economic cooperation among the 10 Country Association of Southeast Asian Nations. Strong cooperation is necessary in this era of transparency, Jokowi told delegates at the plenary session of the 28th Asian Summit meeting in the Laotian capital city of Vientiane. He stressed the importance of unity and centrality of Asia. He said, Asian has been proud with its success in maintaining stability in this region, but lately Asian has seen the regional dynamism that needs addressing by its member countries. The president said the world has high hope for Asian, which will commemorate its 50th anniversary next year. As a regional grouping with a total population of more than 600 million, Asian needs stronger unity and centrality. He also noted Asian performance in economy, saying the regional grouping has a success story in economy. After attending the plenary session of the Asian Summit meeting, the heads of state and governments witnessed the signing of the Asian Declaration on One Asian, One Response. Asian responding to disaster as one of the region and outside the region, and the launch of Master Plan on Asian Connectivity 2025, an initiative for Asian Integration Work Plan 3. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte will leave for Jakarta on September 8 after attending the 28th and 29th Asian Summit and related summits in Vientiane last. Philippine Presidential Spokesman Ernesto Abela noted at the National Convention Center in Laos on Tuesday, said maritime security will be discussed by President Duterte and President Joko Widodo at the meeting. The two countries' defense ministers have discussed the sea lane corridor between the Philippines and Indonesia to safeguard their maritime territory. President Widodo and President Duterte will attend the two summit meetings along with other Asian leaders on September 6 to 8. Seven Indonesian citizens rescued from vessels sinking in Malaysian waters are now in good condition and accommodated in the Indonesian Consulate General in Johor Bahru, Malaysia since Tuesday, September 6. Official for Information on Socioculture of the Indonesian Consulate General in Johor Bahru, Marcianda said, the rescued Indonesians are the crew of the ship Maju Bersama Dua that sank amid high waves as it sailed from Natuna to Batam.
Mereka itu dalam perjalanan dari Batam ke Natuna ngantar semen sama besi.
They were on their way to Batam from Natuna delivering semen and iron. The ship sank due to high waves. They were rescued by Malaysian fishermen. Now they are accommodated in a shelter while waiting for the process of their documents. In the next 2 or 3 days, we could send them home. Their employer is willing to provide tickets.
Marcianda called on the Indonesian seamen and fishermen to be careful in the Indonesian-Malaysian waters and to provide standard equipment to reduce the risk of sea accidents. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. Radio Republik Indonesia, or RRI, has played active role in spreading information both in Indonesia and foreign countries through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia, Mikhail Galuzin, to Voice of Indonesia after diplomatic forum at Auditorium Yusuf Ronodipuro RRI in Jakarta on Tuesday, appreciated RRI which keeps on disseminating beneficial information to the world until now, and it is also strengthening international cooperation between Indonesia and other countries, including Russia.
During this 71 years period of the establishment of the RRI has played a great role in strengthening Indonesian sovereignty and independence, in explaining to the Indonesian people the policy of the leadership of Indonesia, and to consolidating people of Indonesia, as well as you have played a great role in disseminating information about Indonesia all over the world, which contributed to closer, friendly ties between Indonesia and countries and foreign countries, including Russia.
Moreover, Mikhail Galuzin said the program such as Diplomatic Forum, held by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is also beneficial for diplomats, including Russia, to explain its foreign policy so it can be known by many people. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Mikhail Galuzin hopes mass media can provide objective information, including conveying information that occur in a number of conflicting countries. This was disclosed by Mikhail Galuzin during Diplomatic Forum talk show organized by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and ProSatu RRI Jakarta at Auditorium of Yusuf Ronodipuro RRI Jakarta on Tuesday, with the theme, The Role of Media in Creating the Peaceful World. Mikhail Galuzin said mass media should promote journalistic ethics and do not convey subjective report on conflicting countries so that information presented to the public does not create a negative impact. Recent study says death due to conflicts reached the highest level in the past 25 years, while the number of refugees has reached the highest level since the Second World War. Commissioner of Indonesian Broadcasting Commission, Mayong Suryolaksono, said the commission would encourage the mass media to always obey the regulation for television, radio, and other print media so that the information presented to the public can provide positive atmosphere and does not create negative impacts. Indonesian language course for foreigners was inaugurated on Monday, September 5th at the Suez Canal University in Egypt. The course is in the Indonesian Study Center that has already existed at the Suez Canal University since 2012. The Indonesian ambassador in Cairo, Helmi Fauzi, on Tuesday expressed his hope that the Indonesian language course could promote the Indonesian language to the Egyptian youth.
It is a positive thing that the Egyptian people know the Indonesian language. Afterward, they could love the Indonesian culture. They could also be interested in visiting Indonesia for business or tourism. We could introduce the Indonesian culture and inform them about the Indonesia-Egypt relation indirectly.
Helmi Fauzi said further that through the Indonesian language course for foreigners, the Egyptian students could be the envoys who would inform the Egyptian people about Indonesia. Indonesia has sent 4 lecturers for the Indonesian language course for foreigners. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Hangzhou G20 Summit. Listener, G20 Summit 2016 in Hangzhou, China will be the last summit for U.S. President Barack Obama. But this meeting is not likely to be a sweet memory for Obama. 2 things to note. The first was an incident that occurred on Obama's arrival in Hangzhou on Sunday, September the 4th. As the plane has landed, the airport of Hangzhou was not preparing the ladder to go down from the plane, and there was no welcoming red carpet. Very different from the treatment given to President of Brazil, Michel Temer, who arrived earlier. Shan Dingley, an international relations analyst, said criticism of Obama on the South China Sea issue was the reason that sparked such incidents. As if it is the Chinese way of giving a lesson to Obama. In connection with its policy on the South China Sea, as stated by Chinese President Xi Jinping, China will protect its territorial sovereignty and PRC maritime leadership. According to him, the United States must respect China's stance. Obama chose not to continue the controversy by arguing there was a lot of baggage that can be troublesome in the host country. According to a China daily, this incident seems to be exaggerated because the two leaders had agreed to sign the Paris Climate Treaty on the previous day, September the 3rd. Obama also received less palatable treatment in a meeting with Vladimir Putin on the sidelines of the G20 Hangzhou. Again, due to Obama's criticism, this time over Russia's actions in Syria, the meeting was less than warm. The two sides still disagree on the issue of Syria. According to Obama, there is no agreement with Putin, but Putin believes the US and Russia might achieve harmony. Yet the photos on the website showing coldness between them. G20 summit is expected to be the arena to foster better relations among the 20 countries which are major economies. Bilateral issues can be resolved if both parties do not insist on their opinions and not attack each other. Indonesia could always make a positive contribution in such forum. And listener, that was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History, which happened on September 7th. We start from September 7, 1940, birthday of Abdulrahman Wahid, the first president of Indonesia. Abdulrahman Wahid, or Gus Dur, was born in Jombang, East Java on September 7, 1940, and died on December 30, 2009. He was an outstanding figure of Indonesian Muslim and political leader who became the fourth president of Indonesia. Abdulrahman Wahid replacing President B.J. Habibie after he was elected by the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, the result of 1999 election. His government was assisted by the National Unity Cabinet. The Abdulrahman Wahid presidential era was started on October 20, 1999 and lasted on MPR Special Assembly in 2001. Precisely on July 23, 2001, his leadership was substituted by Megawati Sukarnoputri after his mandate was revoked by MPR. Abdulrahman Wahid was former leader of Executive Board of Nahdlatul Ulama
and founder of the National Awakening Party. On September 7, 1944, Japanese Prime Minister Koiso announced the appointment of Indonesian independence. Prior to 1945, Japanese position in the Pacific War began to recessive. General MacArthur, defense commander of the Southwest Pacific, who was beaten in Philippines, began to launch a counterblow. In April 1944, the Allied forces landed in West Irian. The Japanese position was increasingly squeezed when Saipan Island in the Mariana Islands fell into Allied hands in July 1944. For the Allies, the island is very important because the distance of Saipan to Tokyo can be achieved by the US B-29 bomber aircraft. It caused upheavals in Japanese society. Japan's situation was getting worse, led to the fall of Hideki Tojo government on July 17, 1944, and was replaced by General Kuniaki Koiso. To gain Indonesian willing to help Japan in the Pacific War, then on September 7, 1944, Prime Minister Koiso announced the appointment of granting independence to Indonesia. As the realization of the promise of independence uttered by Koiso, the Japanese occupation government under the leadership of Lieutenant General Kumakichi Harada on March 1, 1945, announced the formation of Preparation of Indonesian Independence Investigation Agency, BPUPKI, to investigate important matters relating to the formation of Indonesian independence. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event on September 7, 2010, Mount Sinabung erupted. Mount Sinabung is a mountain in the Karoo Highlands, Karoo Regency, North Sumatra Island. Sinabung, along with Sibayak nearby, are two active volcanoes in North Sumatra. The height of this mountain is 2,460 meters and become the highest peak in North Sumatra. The stratovolcano mountain has not erupted since 1600. On August 29, 2010 morning, Mount Sinabung put out lava, so the status was raised to watch status. 12,000 of residents surrounding the mountain were evacuated and accommodated in 8 locations. Part of the city of Medan was also enveloped in ash from Mount Sinabung. On September 3, the second eruption occurred. The first eruption spewed ash as high as 3 km. Volcanic eruption occurred simultaneously with 2 volcanic earthquakes that can be felt up to 25 kilometers around the mountain. On September 7, 2010, in the morning, Mount Sinabung erupted again. This was the largest eruption since it became active mountain on August 29, 2010. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Voi Green. Today we'll talk about government is to restore the whole peatland area in Indonesia. The damaged and burned peatland owned by residents, enterprises, and protected forests throughout Indonesia will be restored to gain back its natural function. This was said by the head of Peat Restoration Agency, Nazir Fuad, during his visit in Riau Province on Monday. Nazir said that in 2015, 875,000 hectares of peatland in Indonesia were burned and must be restored.
The restoration is allocated for 2 million hectares of peatland in 7 provinces in Kalimantan, Papua, and Sumatra. However, the agency also aware toward the burned land outside the target location. He gives an example to the restoration activity for the first year of the peatland restoration project is allocated to Meranti Islands Regency, Riau Province. The covering of the project is then expanded up to Rimbau Panjang, Kampar Regency. This is because the area was on fire every year and the ash disrupted the flight in Pekanbaru. The expansion of peatland restoration is also done in some areas near airport in Kalimantan. So, Nazir said, the peat restoration work areas in 7 provinces is actually flexible. According to him, the peat restoration agency is preparing regulation on peatland restoration in order all companies are required to restore the peatland in their concession area. Nazir moreover said the company's devotion toward the regulation to protect and defense the canal water level around 30 cm below the soil surface will be continuously monitored through a special sensor equipment. The equipment connected in real time and automatically to the server at the Assessment and Application of Technology Agency BPPT. Nazir said the compliance of the companies to implement restoration will also be monitored continuously. He moreover added, the state has the right to direct and monitor the companies. Each violation will be charged with serious sanction. And that was Voy Green.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo and 9 other Asian leaders have signed a declaration on One Asian, One Response on disaster in and out of this region. President Joko Widodo on Tuesday called for stronger economic cooperation among the 10 countries Association of Southeast Asian Nations. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte will leave for Jakarta on September 8 after attending the 28th and 29th Asian Summit and related summits in Vientiane, Laos. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Mikhail Galuzin hopes mass media can provide objective information, including conveying information that occur in a number of conflicting countries. Listener, that was News in Brief, our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to handicraft from Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you hear the word of Indonesia, one of the things in your mind is batik, which is usually a plaid on cloth. But do you know there is also batik, which is a plaid on wood? Please visit to Krebet Village, which is known as Batik Tourism Village, with wood as media of painting object. All staff of handicraft of wooden batik are made manually without printing or another tool. Certainly, it needs high-class skill. The motifs often used are such as Kawung, Garuda, Sidorahayu, Sidomukti, Parang Rusak, Parang Barong, and many others. Listeners, to make wooden batik handicraft, usually craftsmen, uses wood or sengon, pula, and teak. Its wood is chosen based on the purity and the choice is suitable with the needs. Making process is wooden batik is begun by choosing dry wood. Then the wood is carved based on the pattern or shape which wants to be made. After the carving made, the semi-material is sanded down. Then it's painted with batik color. The handicraft product of wooden batik, which is well known, is wooden mask. Other handicraft products are puppet, box, statue, frame, and many others. Listeners, tourism village of wooden batik offers various tour packages. One of them is a course to make wooden batik, where tourists can see the making process of wooden batik from craftsmen, and they also make wooden batik handicraft. There is also art course to learn traditional art like karawitan and traditional dance. This package includes tour of the cottage industry of wooden batik of Krebet and hill trekking and Jurang Pulosari waterfall. If you are not satisfied yet to explore Krebet village in a day, please do not have to worry. You can stay at some homestays which have Javanese traditional architecture. Krebet Tourism Village is located on Pajangan Hill, Bantul Regency, around 15 kilometers from Yogyakarta. Going to the village can be accessed by using land transportation. Do you want to feel the sensation of making batik on wood as media? Please do not forget to enter Krebet Village in your destination agenda when you are in Yogyakarta. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Krebet Tourism Village. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Di Toko Buku, which in English means at the bookstore. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Toko buku. Toko buku, which means bookstore. Membeli. Membeli, to buy. Buku apa? Buku apa? What book? Buku religi. Buku religi. Religious book. Buku sejarah daerah. Buku sejarah daerah. Local history book. Peta dalam negeri. Peta dalam negeri. The country's map. Papua Barat. Papua Barat. West Papua. Berkunjung, berkunjung, to visit. Terletak, terletak, be located. Menarik, menarik, be interesting. Kepulauan Raja Ampat, Kepulauan Raja Ampat, Raja Ampat Islands. Destinasi wisata, destinasi wisata, tourism destination. Terbaik, terbaik, the best. Di dunia, in the world. Wilayah, wilayah, area. Segitiga karang dunia, segitiga karang dunia, the world coral triangle. Menakjubkan, menakjubkan, to amaze. Selamat bersenang-senang, selamat bersenang-senang, to have fun. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Di Toko Buku, or in English means at the bookstore. The conversation is between A. Nina and B. Lucy on the phone. A. Nina. Hi Lucy, kamu di mana? Hi Lucy, kamu di mana? Which means, hi Lucy, where are you? B. Lucy, di toko buku. Di toko buku. At the bookstore. A. Nina, kamu mau membeli buku apa? Kamu mau membeli buku apa? What kinds of book do you want to buy? B. Lucy, membeli buku religi, buku sejarah daerah, dan peta dalam negeri. Membeli buku religi, buku sejarah daerah, dan peta dalam negeri. I want to buy religious book, local history book, and the country's map. A. Nina, buku sejarah dari daerah mana? Buku sejarah dari daerah mana? Historical book from what region? B. Lucy, daerah Papua. Daerah Papua. Papua region. A. Nina, apakah kamu akan berkunjung ke sana? Apakah kamu akan berkunjung ke sana? Do you want to visit there? B. Lucy, ya, aku ingin pergi ke Kepulauan Raja Ampat. Ya, aku ingin pergi ke Kepulauan Raja Ampat. Yes, I do. I want to go to Raja Ampat Islands. A. Nina, apa yang menarik dari Pulau Raja Ampat? Apa yang menarik dari Pulau Raja Ampat? What is the most interesting object from Raja Ampat Islands? B. Lucy, Raja Ampat adalah destinasi wisata yang paling baik untuk menyelam. Raja Ampat adalah destinasi wisata yang paling baik untuk menyelam. Raja Ampat is the best tourism destination for diving. Berada di kawasan Papua Barat di pusat segitiga karang dunia. Berada di kawasan Papua Barat di pusat segitiga karang dunia. It is located in West Papua at the center of the world coral triangle. A. Nina, wah, sungguh menakjubkan. Wah, sungguh menakjubkan. Great, it is amazing. B. Lucy, itu sebabnya saya ingin berkunjung ke sana. Itu sebabnya saya ingin berkunjung ke sana. That's why I want to visit there. A. Nina, baiklah, selamat bersenang-senang. Baiklah, selamat bersenang-senang. Alright, have fun. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce an Indonesian pop singer, Faris RM. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Sakura by Faris RM. Happy listening.
Senada cinta berseri di antara kita, menyandang anggunnya peran dan jiwa asmara. Terlanjur untuk terhenti di jalan yang telah tertemu semenjak ini. Sehidup semati kian lama kian pasrah ku rasakan jua. Janji yang terucap tak mungkin terhapus saja. Walau rintangan berjuta, walau cobaan memaksa diriku terjerat di peluk asmara. Oh, oh, oh.
listener, Faris RM was born from a musician family, and since childhood, he had been introduced to the music world. His musical career began at the age of 12 years, during his friendship with the singer Debbie Nasution and Oding Nasution to form Young Gypsy Band, brought blues and rock music. Furthermore, Faris RM cooperated with ADMS, Aji Sutama, and Iman RN to make an operate on the farewell party and vocal group of their school. The opportunity to the professional music world began to open in 1977. Together with Aji Sutama, Lady Nur, ADMS, and Ikang Fauzi, his schoolmate at SMA 3 Jakarta, Faris took part on Lomba Cita Lagu Remaja, or the Youth Songwriting Competition, held by one of the private radio stations in Jakarta. Although he only got the third winner, the offer from various bands began to close on him. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Barcelona. Happy listening.
Oh,
Listener Faris Rustam Munaf continued his studies at ITB, majoring in fine art in 1978. Faris was trying to develop and gain knowledge as well as add to his experience by joining two groups of rock music, Giant Step and the Rollies. Faris replaced in keyboardist position for the Giant Step band for stage performances and replacing the drummer for stage performing of the Rollies. Faris has also accompanied the music group from Bandung led by Hari Rusli, namely Hari Rusli Karisma in 1979. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Panggung Perak and Antara Kita by Faris Rustam Munaf or Faris RM. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Pasti tercipta kini di relung pesona yang beranjak menyepi. Ku pandang kelam telah berlalu seolah terlintas bagai impian sunyi yang mengawali kisah legenda kehidupannya. Terbiasa terucap kata terlanjur jelita di bayang pesona hanya merenung kalbu berkabung menyesali diri bagai impian sunyi yang mengawali kisah legenda kehidupannya. Apa yang terjadi dibayangkan nanti sirna dan berganti kini. Semua tak terjadi tanpa disadari hanya kunia terbukti. La 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 la. Biasa berucap kata terlanjur jelita di bayang pesona hanya merenung kalbu berkabung menyesali diri bagai impian sunyi yang mengawali kisah legenda kehidupannya. Apa yang terjadi dibayangkan nanti sirna dan berganti kini. Semua tak terjadi tanpa disadari hanya kunia terbukti. La 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 la. La 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 la
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.